Last week I spoke a lot about the journey of faith that we are on and how the Sermon on the Mount has been that journey to show us what God wants us to be and to do and to become and where it's all headed and how it is a continual process, like a long walk, like a long journey. And Jesus wraps it up this morning in the end of the seventh chapter by helping us to identify truth, to see truth, to know truth, to build truth, to live truth. And that's what I want to focus on this morning in four different ways, each of them beginning with the letter W, as you see on your outline. So we're going to jump right into it today. And the first one is watch. Seeing, knowing, building, and living the truth means we need to watch. It says there in that 15th verse, watch out for false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Watch. Be watchful. Be aware. I think that's what Christ is conveying to us in this first verse, is that we shouldn't walk blindly, or more correctly, follow blindly people that might be trying to mislead us. We shouldn't get caught up in people that might seem friendly or even appealing on the surface, but underneath there is something else going on that only time will reveal. And that's what Christ gets across here. He kind of mixes his metaphors. He begins with that classic wolf in sheep's clothing, and then transitions into trees and fruit. Now, think about a fruit tree. As you know, I picked a peach tree, of course. I love peaches. So there's a peach tree all in full bloom, ready to ripe just about, probably sometime in August. And when we are being watchful and aware, we have to be, because false prophets are cunning, like the wolf in sheep's clothing. Be cautious and patient. Wait to see the fruit. How long did those peaches on that tree take? Months? Many months. From the time there was a blossom in the spring until they were ready to pick, what was that, probably 4 or 5 months maybe? Until it's ready to go? Fruit takes time. Any kind of fruit or even a vegetable or grain, it, from the time it's planted, if it's something that just grows once a year out of the ground, or if it's a tree that blooms annually and then produces fruit, no matter how you slice it, you don't get instant fruit. You don't get instant vegetables, instant grain. We have things that we put in the microwave, really quick rice, but still, that rice had to grow and be processed so you can put it in the microwave so you can eat it. But everything that is truly nutritional to us took time to get it there. And I'm emphasizing that very clearly, because what will happen is, if we're not sure about a teaching, a teacher, someone that we're looking to or following or has befriended us and seems to be up to something, and they might have something to say that we think is good, but we're not quite sure, time will tell. And what is it that they are producing? If you want to know whether or not any person that you are following, reading, listening to, befriending, is leading you in the wrong direction, take the time to see what is growing or not in their life. What does Galatians 5 teach us about the fruit of the Spirit? Patience is the first one, so there's that waiting. And goodness and gentleness, kindness, self-control, I missed a few others there. Galatians 5:22.
What?
Faithfulness. Thank you. All of that is now if we don't see those qualities evidenced in a person, then that is the sign from God that this is a false prophet, false teacher, someone misleading you. And that's very true. We can't get caught up in the flashy stuff, which we'll kind of get back to in a moment. If you look at also Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 7, the writer of Hebrews is here telling us something very similar when he says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So, what is the outcome of their life? What is the outcome of your life? What kind of fruit are you growing, producing, demonstrating in your life that makes your life in one way or another worthy of being followed, worthy of being thought of as a leader in any way? And again, leadership has a whole variety of components to it. In the home, there needs to be leadership. In the neighborhood, there needs to be leadership. In work, there needs to be leadership. In larger settings, in the church and institutions throughout the community, we need good leaders no matter where we are. And especially in the context of the church, we need to look for God's fruit being produced in their lives. And this doesn't happen quickly. So what is the outcome of their way? So that's the first caution that Jesus gives here, is to watch. If you want to know the path of truth and if someone's trying to pull you off of that path, watch. The second one then is, this picture, it's a little dark in here, but this is a crowd of people. You see this boy right here. This comes from a movie. And the movie is called Empire of the Sun. It was made in 1987. In this film, this boy right here was in China in World War II, or just as World War II was developing in that part of the world. And the British Empire had a large presence in China at that time. But there was rumblings that the Japanese were going to attack China. And so as the British citizens, and this boy was one of them, and his parents began to see that this is happening, well, they kind of realized it too late, and the Japanese attacked. And him and his family, he was the only child, and they lived in this huge mansion and had Chinese nationals as their servants in their home. They had to abandon their home and run for their lives. And there's a whole crowd of people going down this street. Now this boy, his name is Jamie. And Jamie had a fascination with warplanes and jet fighters. And he had little toys that his parents gave him. And he had books and magazines about them. And he didn't really seem to understand or comprehend the fact that his very life and his family was in danger, because he was so fascinated by the jets and the warplanes and the Japanese army and their pilots. And so what happened in the crowd here, he was holding his parents' hands, and they got pushed and pushed. And then he sees the jets fly over, and he stopped. And he had a little jet plane or airplane in his hand, and he dropped it. And he went down to pick it up. His mother's hand got pulled away from his, and she got pushed in the crowd one way, and he got pushed in the crowd in the other. And all of a sudden, he realized he was separated from his parents. And for the rest of the movie, he is separated from his parents. He goes into a prisoner of war camp that was, of course, run by the Japanese, and then eventually he was freed. And if you've never seen the movie, it's very good. It's like 1987. And if you're, by the way, that's Christian Bale, the guy that played Batman when he was a boy, okay? So, but what I want you to get from that story is, he got lost in something he was fascinated with, something that looked really cool. planes and war and the Japanese, and that's really neat, and didn't grasp the danger of it all until it was too late. And the rest of the story is about him trying to reconnect with his own parents. Now, I use that example to say the next one, and it's about our will. Verses 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers.'" At the time of Christ, there was an imbalanced fascination with things like prophesying and things like and healings and miracles. Now, they definitely had their place. But if you think this is what it's all about, is showing these flashy signs to God, "Look what I did." Even if it was miraculous, even if it did look great, and you don't have a change of heart because of Christ within your heart, within your life, then Jesus is saying, "You never really knew me at all." We're like the boy who was so caught up in a fascination with airplanes that he got separated from his very own family. John chapter 6, verses 39 to 40 speaks about the will of God, because the will is what drives our lives. It's what brings us to make choices and decisions and take directions, and going back to that faith journey metaphor, to stay on the right path, to stay on the path that Christ has laid out for us. But there's airplanes flying overhead. There's interesting, fascinating things that we're hearing about. There's something over there. There's something over there. And maybe they're not harmful, and maybe in and of themselves, and maybe they have their place. And yet they are not the main thing. And when we take side issues like healings and miracles and prophecies, in the case of Christ as mentioned in here, and anything else that within the church or on the periphery of the church, and we get caught up in those things, you could even have it with much lesser things in the church. It could be things like my place in the church and the position that I have, or a particular area of ministry that you have, or something you're in charge of, or something that you do, and you think that is what my relationship with God is all about. This is what matters most. Now, it does matter. It's part of the church, but if that becomes the main thing and not Christ, and if our will isn't being directed toward Him in all of our ways, then we're again like the boy lost in the crowd being separated. So the will of God, what is that? John 6, verse 39 says, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Raise them up. Think about the will of God is that He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to be drawn to Him. He wants us, our Father, wants to reconnect with us, His children. And as children, we can get easily distracted, easily dissuaded, easily taken off course when we don't listen for our Father's voice. That is always His will, to draw us one step closer to the Father. And the next one is wisdom. Wisdom. Verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. It wasn't hard to find a picture of a crashing house. I don't know it. After I found that, you Google things and you get them from who knows where. But that actually looks very much like a house that came down along Broadhead Creek in a flood several years ago. I don't know if it's that one, but it looks similar to that. That's what it reminded me of. And of course, you have Built on the Rock. And that's such a great metaphor. There's a children's song written about that. And if you learned that when you were little like I did, we always loved the part about the crash. You know, because you got to do motions and crash, and it fell with a great crash. But that's fun when you're a kid, but it's not if that's your home. And it's not if that's your life that is crashing down and being washed away because we've built it on the wrong foundation or no foundation at all. Wisdom. Practice words of truth. Stand up to the storms of trial, persecution, and suffering, and anything else that may come our way. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So I hope that each of these examples that Christ put out, and then the last one, of course, I'm sorry, the one more is wonder. The word of Christ has great authority. Be amazed by it. Now, this is basically Matthew's comment at the end of Jesus' three-chapter sermon. When he says there in the 28th verse, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The crowds were amazed. 38 times in the Gospels you find the word amazed. Primarily it is a situation like that where the crowds were amazed at what Jesus said. There was also amazement at the miracles, at the healings, things that he did. But think about amazement about authority. Authority is power, is a structure of power that someone has. Think about authority. Think about how a person who is dressed as a police officer, and then presumably is indeed a police officer, has the badge, is given authority by whether it is the local community with a local police force, or perhaps the state of Pennsylvania as a state trooper. Their presence carries authority. When you see a state patrol car along the road, what do you usually do? At least what I do. Check your speed limit, okay? And that's just another car, right? That's just one more vehicle. Oh, it's that vehicle. That vehicle carries authority. So just seeing that vehicle, knowing what could happen if I'm speeding or making some other sort of traffic violation, I don't want to get in trouble, I don't want to pay a fine, so I'm going to check my speed and maybe slow down. And a lot of times I do need to slow down. I confess that, all right? But that's power. That authority has power. And that's one example of an institution of power. Now, Jesus, when he spoke, his words carried authority from God. An understanding about God and his ways that no one else ever seemed to be able to grasp the way in which Jesus did. And the way he said that. And this was brought out yesterday at the production at Sight and Sound, that scene when Mary was describing when he was 12 and he got lost and went to the temple, and where they lost him. Where was he? He was at the temple speaking with the Pharisees. And they were amazed at him at that age. Are you amazed by the Word of God? Does the truth that this book reveals, as you open the pages and read a verse, a chapter, maybe a book, maybe a little bit of deep study, maybe just a quick look in the morning to kind of get your mind set in the right direction, maybe use something like the Daily Bread, which always has a verse and a little comment on it. In any way that you give yourself exposure to the Word of God, the Word of Christ, do you pause enough, or at least on a regular basis in your life, to be amazed? To sit back in wonder and in awe at who God is, at what God did for you in sending Jesus to become one of us, and as we're going to remember this week, go to that cross as the innocent, suffering victim, labeled a criminal, although he wasn't, and bled and died for us. And then, by the power of the Spirit of God, rising him to life so that we can indeed rise to life. Not just when we die, but also even now, to resurrect from all the traps of death and darkness that surround us every day, that we're maybe already in. We can rise to life in so many very meaningful ways. That's just one way to be amazed at what God has done, of who Jesus is. But it takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes... That's why I think the word meditation is so important. To sit in some quiet place. Maybe it's a closet. Maybe it's a nice secluded spot outside. Maybe it's your car in a quiet road. I don't know. That might work too. But I think it's actually best to sit somewhere where you're not doing something else. You're not, you know, in effect telling God, yeah, while I'm doing this, God will talk. Now let's just focus on the Lord and listen and pause and let the train of your mind slow down enough to hear. Be amazed. So I hope today that one of these images will stick with you. One way that God has revealed truth. And in the first one, do you see the fruit of the Spirit being produced in the people that you follow, in those that you look to? And if you do, good. Then glean that and use that, because that's the beauty of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not for me. Okay? What the Spirit of God does isn't so I can say, look at me, I'm great. I have goodness and patience and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness. No, it is to be shared. It is something that blesses everyone. Blesses all those in our lives. Are you drawn to dramatic quick fixes or to a daily walk with God? Are we getting separated from our Father because of distractions and other the noise of life and the wars of life? And that's why that metaphor, that story is so powerful. Or are we hanging on to our Father's hand and letting Him pull us through the crowd, let Him pull us through the war and help us? Will the life you are building stand up to the storms that life will bring? Not might bring, not could bring, will bring. Look at the storms of this month, the literal ones. My goodness, we've had more winter in March than we've had in the last couple of winters combined, I think. It certainly feels that way. And so physically, we understand storms. There will be storms. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, He has overcome the world. So we need to build on that foundation so that overcoming can happen. And lastly, do you take and make time to let God's Word amaze you? Let's pray. Father, thank You that Your Word has gone forth this morning. And certainly that is what I hope and pray for, that each of us, and even myself, would be renewed reminded, or perhaps given something brand new that we've never considered before, that your Spirit is working on in our hearts. Let us take one thing today and work on that. And like a seed, put it in the ground and water it, Lord God, to grow that fruit of the Spirit into our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go to prayer, we'll sing together. Kim's going to come and lead the next song. You can stay seated for this one.